This class is dedicated to the memory of Reuven Binyamin Rosenzweig, son of Shmuel Mordechai and Shoshana Rosenzweig, a young man, 19 years old, who was killed Nebuch in a car accident. His grandmother is one of our students, Lee Dorshav, and I think the Kamas HaMetzavos will be later this week. And Nebuch, one of the tragedies that happened here, very talented young man, and of course a whole future ahead of him. So we're going to learn Tehillim Le'ilui Nishmato, so that this should be a source of zchut for his neshama. Bella, could you ask them to stop drilling out there? This is just another one of these things we'll have to. Now, I just want to repeat the opening remarks that I said last week. We're going to be learning Tehillim at this point by units. The unit that I chose, and it's not important why I chose that unit. There are 11 chapters in Tehillim, from chapter 90 until chapter 100, 11 chapters in Tehillim that were said by Moshe Rabbeinu. According to the Medrash, they were said by Moshe Rabbeinu, and David HaMelech is the one who placed them in Tehillim. They were said by Moshe at the end of his life, after he had blessed 11 of the tribes. In Parshat Zot HaBracha, he also says 11 prayers. At some point we're going to come to a partial medrash that attempts to take each one of these 11, or at least half of the 11, and show how they correspond to another one of these 11 chapters in Tehillim. But that will come later. First we have to know the chapters. There's another reason why I chose these 11 chapters. Not only because they are one unit that was said by Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life. All 11 are in our davening, and all 11 are chapters in Tehillim with which we are acquainted with them. We know them because we say them often. But there is a giant step to be taken from saying them often and truly comprehending what is being said. There's such depth and there's such beauty to it, and that's what we're going to try to get at. Its depth, its beauty, fundamental principles of Jewish belief, of Jewish beliefs that come to the fore of these chapters. So the one we learned last week was chapter 90. It will all be okay. In the end, everything is going to be all right. It seems it's a very important repair, and he will do it as quickly as possible. So maybe we'll have to suffer a little bit. Alright, listen, what can we do? By the way, I certainly hope that anybody who has a cell phone with him or her has turned off the cell phones, because that's one thing I simply okay, I don't have mine with me, that's good. I don't keep it on most of the time anyway, but it's not only annoying, there's something uncouth and vulgar about it. And now I'm afraid to understand that any minute now four or five cell phones are going to go off and you're going to be all embarrassed. No, you know what? You deserve it. All right. Yoshev B'Seisad Elyon, chapter 91. Yes?
Reading over what you said last week about number 90,
yes?
It sort of teaching, it could almost have been the prayer which was to the Rabbi Shalom, to the Master HaEdom, because who else could feel that fear and that anger of Hashem, the Moshe, when he had to face Hashem after the Master HaEdom?
All right, I hear what you're saying. Tefillah of Moshe, Yeshua Elokim. In other words, you want to say that this is the prayer that he said at that point. Let me know this. I hope to point out to you, if you'll see, you'll watch carefully, you'll see that we're going to come up with phrases that appear in Ha'azinu and Zot HaBracha. Even in chapter 90 was it began Tefillah Moshe Ish Elokim Hashem Ma'on Atah Hayitalanu Ma'on Atah Hayitalanu. That was in chapter 90. Ma'on, you are a dwelling place for us, a place of protection. The final section of Torah in Zot HaBracha, and we begin reading from there, the final part of Torah is Ma'ona Elokei Kedem at the end of Zot HaBracha, the dwelling place of the God who was always here. And there are going to be other, I'll show you terms that are clearly reminiscent of Hazinu and Zot HaBracha. It's Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life. By the way, there's another extremely significant indication that these 11 chapters are one unit. 11 chapters where it doesn't say L'David, or Mizmor L'David, or Shir Mizmor L'David, or L'David Mizmor. David is not mentioned. It's only the Tefillah L'Moshe that is said at the beginning, and therefore it's quite clear that these 11 chapters are a unit on their own. We've done 90, we're going to do 91. 91 is most probably one of the very, very well-known chapters in Tehillim. It is said on many occasions, Yoshev B'Seser Elyon. Yoshev B'Seser Elyon. It is said in Davening on Shabbos and Yantif. It is said Motzoi Shabbat after Mariv. It is said in Kriyat Shema at night that one says Yoshev B'Seser. Yoshev B'Seser is also said by a levaya, by a funeral, as the niftar or nifteret is being taken out, the chevra kadisha, and everybody who follows the chevra kadisha says Yoshev B'Seser Elyon. Now we will see, once we have gotten into the chapter, we will see what are the ideas that are expressed over here that would make it appropriate for all of these occasions. Yoshev B'Seser Elyon. B'tzeil Shaddai Yitlonan. Yoshev B'Seser Elyon. Now the word Elyon here can have two meanings. Elyon can be a description or a name, another name of God. By the way, it appears for the first time in Torah in Parashat Lech Lecha, when Avraham comes back from the battle against the four kings and he returns all of the people and the wealth of Sodom and Amorah. He saves Lot, so Malki Tzedek, Melech Sholem, Malki Tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim, comes out toward him and he says, Baruch Avram, blessed is Avram, Lekel Elyon, to the God who is on high. Kel Elyon, Elyon being there all the way above us. It's also, of course, the name of God that's used at the beginning of the Shemona Esrei, Elokeinu Elokei Avotenu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yisrael, HaKel HaGadol HaGibor VaHanora Kel Elyon. Now the word Elyon can also describe where he resides. It doesn't have to be only the name of God, but it also describes where he resides. Yoshev, he dwells. He dwells in Seser Elyon, in a secret concealed place that is high above. In this chapter and the chapter to come, there's going to be a description of God as being in concealment, but despite the fact that he is in concealment, he acts constantly within this world, and it's going to have to be the person of intelligence who will be able to perceive the workings of God even though he dwells in concealment. Now, Yoshe Beseser Elyon, the God, the Almighty God, who sits and dwells in the very heights, Betzel Shaddai Yitlonam. The person who is speaking, and here it will be very fascinating, there are going to be different people in this chapter of Tehillim that seem to be talking to one another. There are declarations that are made, and after one makes a declaration, there is one who is going to bless him. The declarations that are going to be made is a person is going to say, I place my faith and my trust in God. I dwell in his shade. Betzel Shaddai Yitlonam. Betzel Shaddai, in the shade of Shaddai, in the shade of the Almighty God, Yitlonam. The word Yitlonam over here comes from the word Lina, Malon. I dwell in the shade of God. Omar, I say about God, he is machsi umitsudati. The word machsi in a number of forms is going to appear in this chapter. Machsi means he is my shelter. There is a pasuk in Yeshayahu that says the sukkah in time to come, God is going to protect his people in the open. The sukkah tia letzel yomam mechorev ulemachaseh. It's going to be a source of shelter from driving rain. A machaseh is a place where I am sheltered. Omar, I say about God, he is my shelter. Umitsudati, and he is my fortress. A mitsuda, as in matsada, is a fortress. God is my shelter and my fortress. Elokai, he is my God. Eftach bo, I trust. I place my trust in him. In God, I trust. Elokai, eftach bo. After whoever it is that is speaking makes this declaration, it may be either the Kohen or the Talmud Chacham or the Navi who now blesses him, because this is the way you feel about God, so ki hu yatzilcha, I bless you, that he should save you. He should save you. Now, isn't it interesting? The word Yatzilcha, what shodesh do you have in the word Yatzilcha? Hatzalah? Sail Shaddai. The word Hatzalah or Yatzilcha comes from the word sail. And sail is the shade, not only shadow, but the shade, that which shelters. So the person who has made this declaration, Elokai Evtach Bach, God, my God, I trust you, I place my trust in you. He is now blessed. Ki hu yatzilcha, God is going to save you. Mipach yakush. Pach yakush is a trap. Imagine the kind of trap that hunters put out for in order to trap animals. Pach yakush. The pach is the trap. The yakush is when the trap closes shut. And I would say the animal's the spring, and then it closes shut over the animal. Pach yakush. And midever havot. Now, very often in Tanakh there is a word that appears in the first half of the pasuk that really applies to the second half of the pasuk as well. You will find very often something that appears in the second half of the pasuk that applies to the first as well. Over here, it is as though it said, "Ki hu yatzilcha mipach yakush, ki hu yatzilcha mideber havot." Deber havot, deber is a plague. Deber havot is a plague that destroys. Illness. which means therefore that the first part of the pasuk is a blessing, that you should be saved from the kind of tragedy that can befall you at the hand of man. That's the pach yakush, the trap. The second half of the pasuk is talking about saving, that you be saved from the kind of things that we refer to as an act of God, dever havot, a dever, huh? Why can't I hear you? Terrorism? Oh, well, no. Terrorism would be pach yakush. But wait a minute. There are going to be better words for terrorism. Ki hu yatzilcha mipach yakush midever havot. Yes, I thought you were going to say for dever havot and for acts. But that's also an act of man. It's not an act of God. Be'evrato yosech loch. Evrato is the wing. Imagine the wing of the eagle, be'evrato, with his wing, and we're talking about the whole body of the wing. Yosech loch, he will cover you. What word do we have? A sukkah, the sukkah. The tachat kenafav, and beneath his feathers, the evra is the great wing, the knafav are the feathers, tachat knafav, beneath his feathers, techeseh. Ah, we have the word again. Techeseh, you will have refuge, you will be sheltered. That was the word that we had in the second pasuk, Omar la Hashem, I say about God, he is machsi. Now I tell you, I also hear in the word techeseh, or machsi, what word do I hear? You should know me well enough by now to... Machsan is not bad. How do you like that? I would never go to Machsan. That's a place where things are sheltered and kept for safekeeping. Not bad.
Yeah,
also
the bomb shelter. No.
Okay. Achsania is spelled with a chaf. And this is a ches. I hear the word chus. God have compassion. Chus v'rachem aleinu. God is machaseh. He shelters us and he protects us because he has mercy on us. V'tachat knafot techaseh. This is, remember, the blessing that's given to the person who said, I trust in God. So he's now being given the blessing. First of all, he should save you from any kind of trap and ensnarement. And there's something very special about the trap and the ensnarement. We're talking about something that happens swiftly, suddenly, something that one can't really prepare themselves for it. There's something striking about the unexpected. So he will save you mipach yakush, mideber havot, from plague that is out there in the world. Be'evrato, with his great wing, yosech loch, v'tachat kenafav, and beneath his feathers, techaseh, you will find shelter. Tzina v'solcheira amita. A tzina is a shield. A tzina, man goes out to war with a shield. I mean, it wasn't only in the old days. You see the pictures of riot police, not police who make riots, those who have to control riots. But there's also something that they have that's a socheira. A socheira is a shield that surrounds the entire person. It goes all the way around. And socheira comes from the word, it's really an Aramaic word. Sechor, sechor. Samachet Vavdei, Samachet Vavdei means go around. Ah, I have another word. What's a schar kodet? When you feel like you're going around, a schar kodet, tzina, dizziness. But the word schar kodet comes from the word schor chol or socheira, is something that surrounds a person from all sides. Tzina the socheira. Do you know what your shield and that which surrounds you, gives you protection? Amito. Now the word amito means much more than his truth. Amito and Amen it means it, very often in Tanakh what it means is his trustworthiness. You can trust him. You can believe him. You can count on him. You can count on God. Amito, having his word is his bond, and therefore Be'evrato Yosekloch, with his great wing he's going to cover you, and beneath his wings you will find shelter, you will be protected, and therefore Lo Tida Mipachad Laila, do not be afraid of the terror of the night. By the way, the word Pachad means more than fear. There is Yirah, there is fear, as in Yirah Hashem or any other form of Yirah. Pachad always means terror. And I'll give you, I remember, oh, years. Well, first of all, you have Uvechein Tein Pardecha Hashem Elokeinu Al Kol Maasecha Ve'emoscha V'yira'ucha Kol Amasim. There is Pachad, we say it in Shon Etzer Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there is Pachad and there's Yira. Now there's one pasuk where you would really get the indication of what Pachad is. So say that again. Al tira mi pachad pitom mi shoat rishaim ki tavo. We have it in our davening right after Aleinu. Do not be afraid of pachad pitom, sudden pachad. Remember here, less than 35 years ago, the Soloveitchik Zecher Tzadik Livracha was talking about uvechein tein pachadecha, and he wanted to describe pachad. So he told the story of one of the fighters, one of the Jews in the Warsaw ghetto who was fighting the Germans, and then there were those, when they saw that all hope was lost, they went through the sewers and came out in the forest outside of Warsaw and were able to escape. So he described, of course, the fear of being in the Warsaw ghetto that's going up in flames. We're talking about constant fear. And he describes the fellow's making his way out through the sewers, and then he comes out in the dark of night, he comes out into a forest, and all of a sudden he sees a white apparition in front of him, and he becomes terrified. You're coming out of the worst fear possible. But here, it's at night, and you don't know what it is. When you don't know what it is, that strikes a fear in one's heart that is called pachad. And when it comes suddenly, it's a destructive force. So he says, Lo tira, if you have trust in God, because you said you have trust in Him, Lo tira mi pachad laila, you will not be afraid of the fear, the terror of night. And of course he uses night, because night represents the idea that it comes suddenly and unexpectedly. There can be pachad during the day too, but the night is a time of terror. Mecheitz yo'uf yomam. Here we have another example of what I told you before. And once we get these things straightened out, you will be able to see it already in Pesukim yourself. Over here also, the lo tira of the first half of the pasuk applies to the second. Lo tira mi pachad laila, you will not be afraid of the fear of night. Lo tira, you will not be afraid of cheitz, an arrow, yo'uf, that flies yomam during the day. Arrows are usually shot during the day when the person who is able to see. Yes. I tried to be pretty. The evra really comes from the word aver. Aver is an organ. It's the body, the bones that make up the entire wing. So knafav. Knafav represents one part of that wing, not the totality of the wing. Now, the word lotira of Pasuk 5 is now going to apply to all of Pasuk 6. Mideber ba'ovel yahaloch. He's talking again about pestilence or epidemic. You will not be afraid. Lo tira mideber ba'ovel yahaloch. That goes, it moves in the darkness. Miketev yoshud zoharayim. From the ketev that is yoshud. Yoshud over here comes the word a shodeid that robs and steals in the midst of day. What is a ketev? What is a ketev? Do you know where we have the word the ketev? We have it in where? No? It's in Ha'azinu. Ketev Meridi. Some kind of a demon. Now some of the Mepharshim over here are concerned, is Ketev a demon or is it some kind of an illness? Some of the Mepharshim say, yeah, there were such things as demons that terrified people. There are times that I think that there are human demons that are even more terrifying than demons. You know, there can be friendly ghosts too. But Ketev, and then some of the Mepharshim say, we don't know anything about ghosts. We don't know anything about ghosts or demons. But it means something terrifying, something that causes fear.
Here the translation
is mazik. What's mazik? Yeah, anything that causes danger. Correct, I like that. But that's not a literal translation. They are... Yeah, yeah. They just want to give you an idea of what you're saying, but it's not a literal translation at all. Now, as we're reading these psukim, I want you to think about to whom would these kind of blessings be said. So we know that these blessings are being given to a person who has faith and trust in God. But if you look a little closer, you know, why leave you in the dark? Doesn't this sound like a tefillat haderech? Isn't this like a tefillah of a person who's on a journey? Don't be afraid of terror at night. Don't be afraid of an arrow that may hit you during the day. There's pestilence out there. You need somebody to protect you. A tefillat haderech. Pasuk Zion. Yipol mitzidcha elef. From your left side, even though it doesn't say left, the only reason why we know it's left is because the next part of the pasuk says, "Urevava miminecha," a thousand enemies will fall, and 10,000 from your right. I mean, 1,000 to your left, and 10,000 from the right. Elecha lo yigosh, the enemy that's out there will not approach you. You are under the protection of the Rebbeinu. He's not going to. It's not going to touch you. So you know what we're talking about. This may very well have been a bracha that was used to bless the people who are going three times a year. Those who are being oleh regel to Yerushalayim. I mean, they come to the Beis HaMikdash, they travel to the Beis HaMikdash, they travel back to the Beis HaMikdash. A bracha is being given to them that they should all arrive home safe and sound. But there's another journey. There's the ultimate journey that every human being takes. And I believe that's why this is said at a Levaya. Because this is a new journey. It's a different journey. A journey into the great unknown. And the Tfilas HaDerech that we say is Yoshev B'Seser Elyon. That you will be under the wings and under the protection of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Nothing, be it the angels who want to find fault with you. Nobody will find fault with you, and you will be able to continue on your ultimate journey in peace. The fact is that all of life is a journey, and it's a difficult journey. You know, I was at a bar mitzvah last night, and one of the rabbis who spoke was there. It took a famous story of the Chafetz Chaim. Oh boy, he dramatized it. I felt like there I was in Radin by the Chafetz Chaim. The famous story of the Chafetz Chaim, some wealthy fellow from from America. I imagine everybody in America is wealthy. Some wealthy fellow from America heard about the Chafetz Chaim, that he's such a great tzaddik, so he wanted to see the Chafetz Chaim. So he went and he took a journey to Radin. He comes in, comes to the house, and the fellow added all sorts of parts and different stories. It was, you know, I don't think you could recognize that it was the original story, but I knew that it was. So anyway, he comes to the door, and what he added to the story was, he knocks on the door, and some Jew comes to the door, and this wealthy fellow says, "Listen, I want to see the great Chafetz Chaim, the great tzaddik." So the fellow who answers the door says, "He's not so great, he's not such a big tzaddik, don't take it so seriously." Of course, the end of the story is he finds out that the fellow opens the door to the Chafetz Chaim, so he's shocked. "What are you talking about, the Chafetz Chaim opening the door? Don't you have a doorman, a valet? Don't you have people who are working?" Anyway, he comes into the living room of the Chafetz Chaim, and there's a table, and there's a chair, and there's a few svarim. I imagine there's a Mishnah Brura, and there's a Shviras Halash, and those svarim for sure he had. And so he asks him, "Where's all of your furniture? You know the story, where's all of your furniture?" So he says, "What do you mean? What do I need more than this?" So Chafetz Chaim turns to this wealthy fellow, "And where is your furniture? You come with a suitcase over here, where's your furniture?" He says, "I have all my furniture in the United States, but over here I'm only a journeyer, I'm passing through, so I don't take my furniture with me." So the Chafetz Chaim says, "I'm also passing through. We're all journeyers." Yes?
Why isn't this brasha directed to people who don't like practicing God? Because they're the ones that need it, the ones that practice God.
Let's say the following. There will be other brachas for people who don't fully trust in God. And for that matter, we may have to wait for the next chapter for that. But right now, listen. Somebody is good, you deserve bracha. You don't get brachas, you don't get points for not being good. That doesn't happen anyplace. No, it does happen someplace in this world. I'm not going to elaborate on that yet. No! People who are good deserve a bracha. A person who says, "Elokai, my God, I trust in you. I trust in you. God has in a sense a responsibility that the trust that is placed in him should be fulfilled." So this is the bracha that is being given. Say it's the Kohen or somebody who is saying this. And he continues to say, yes?
Could it be the Shiras HaGaf which Moshe gave to Am Yisrael before they went to Israel?
All right. That I'm ready to... not only am I ready to buy that, I'm ready to air. What she said was, maybe this Yoshev B'Seser Elyon is the Tfilat HaDerech that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people as they prepare on the great journey of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. I agree with you. Second, one of the Mefarshim says that this is Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to Yahushua, who's now going to take over. Yipo mitzidcho elef urevava miminecho elecho lo yigosh. You will be able to look your enemy straight in the face, and there's going to be a God who's going to protect you. Is it also possible that this Tfilas HaDerech is Moshe's own Tfilas HaDerech, because this is the day on which he's going on his final journey? And by the way, you don't have to choose anyone. The beauty of Tehillim in particular, and all of Tanakh in general, is that there's no one single meaning. Every one of them that we've said is true. It's a Tfilas HaDerech for the people who are coming up to Yerushalayim. It's a Tfilas HaDerech for Yahushua. It's a Tfilas HaDerech for Klal Yisrael. It's a Tfilas HaDerech for Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Life and afterlife are all fraught with all sorts of dangers. And he goes on, so let's go a little further. He's going to deal with a problem here that he's going to deal again with in the next chapter, which is going to be Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. So, you know, we've painted a very beautiful picture here of the one who trusts in God, you know, nothing's going to happen to him. There's only one eternal problem that arises whenever you make a description of this sort. There's evil in the world. There's evil in the world. Now there's going to be one approach in this chapter, and there's going to be another approach in another chapter, and there's going to be other approaches. His bracha to him is rak be'einecho tabit, you will look with your eyes. V'shilumat v'sho'im tir'eh. Shilumat over here means the ultimate payment of the evil you will see. Shilumat also from the meaning of the end of the rishoyim tir'eh, you will see it. He seems to be assuming, I know what's going on in your mind. I know you're wondering, I painted this idyllic picture of a God who protects, but wait a minute, it doesn't always happen that way. So I'm telling you that ultimately, yes, not everything comes immediately, and there is a problem of the existence of evil in the world. How many psukim are there in this? How many? There are 16. 16. That means that when we come to the end of Pasuk Chet, we have finished one half of the... one half. Now, why? But I'm counting psukim. Of course I'm counting psukim. Because the second half, which begins with Pasuk 9, is now going back to first speaker. The one who said, Elokai, God, I trust in you. And the one who received all of the blessings as a result. Now, second part of the chapter, he says, Ki ato Hashem machsi. You know, it's somebody else who's talking. Remember, there are all sorts of, there are changes here from first person, second person, third person. So now, we're back to speaker one. Speaker one is the one who said, Omar, in Pasuk 2, Omar la Hashem, I say about God that He is Machsi Umitsudasi. If you take a closer look at Pasuk 2 and 3, just for a moment, Pasuk 2 is a person speaking in first person. I say about God, He is Machsi, my shelter, Umitsudati, and my fortress. Pasuk Gimel switches to third person, Ki hu yatzilcha, He will save you from traps and snares on your journey through life. That's why we are compelled to say that the person who's speaking in Pasuk 1 and 2 is not the one who's speaking in Pasuk 3 and further. So it means the one who's speaking in Pasuk 1 and 2 is the one who makes his declaration in God, I trust. As a result of that, he is given a blessing because of your faith and your trust in God. He should save you from all the terrible things that can happen in life. In Pasuk 9, we go back to Speaker 1, and Speaker 1 is now going to make another declaration. Ki ata Hashem Machsi, you God, and now he's talking directly to God. Before he said, Omar la Hashem, Pasuk 2, he said, I say about God. Now he turns to God and he says directly, Ki ata Hashem Machsi, you God are my shelter. This is the third time we already have this word, third or fourth time that we have this word, Machsi, or Machaseh, or Techaseh. Elyon Samto Ma'onecha. Here again, Ki Ato Hashem, the first three words of the first part of the pasuk apply to this one. Because you God, Elyon, upon the very heights, Samto Ma'onecha, you have placed your dwelling place. By the way, doesn't this already make a connection between chapter 90 and chapter 91? What? What was chapter 90? Hashem Ma'on Atah Hayitalanu. There are key words that connect one with another. We talked about God being Ma'on in chapter 90. Now in 91 we're talking about Elyon, you who are on high, Sam Tomonet, or you placed your dwelling place over there. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says at the end of Torah, Ma'on or Elokei Kedem. So after he's made a second declaration, this declaration he makes directly to God, God, you're it. You are the one who shelters me. So now in Pasuk Yud, we are now back to third person. Somebody is speaking to him and blessing him again. And he says, Lo te'una elecha ra'ah. No, well, I'm afraid to say te'una. The word te'una, Nebuch, is the word that we get from here. No accident shall happen to you. Lo te'una elecha ra'ah. No evil shall happen to you. V'negalo yikrav v'ahalecha, and no plague shall come close to your tent, to your home. Kivaloch of Yitzavaloch. In this second blessing that he is giving to the one who has trust in God, he is now giving him even more intense blessings. He says that there's going to be a malachim, angels are going to be there to protect you. Ki malachim yitzavarach. His angels, his... Now malachim does not only have to mean angels, malachim can mean, also means his messengers. God has all sorts of malachim. God has all sorts of angels. Or he has all sorts of messengers. You never know. You never know how God carries out his plan in this world. You can never know, as in Yiddish they would say, you can never know who's the Gitter Shliach, who is the one that's going to be bringing the good news. It can sometimes be our worst enemy that ultimately turns out to be the one who saves us. Ki malach yitzavaloch. Lishmarcha b'chol derachecha, to guard you in all of your ways. This already is the clear pasuk that tells us that Yoshev v'seiser is a tfilas haderech, to watch you, guard over you, b'chol derachecha. Al kapayim yiso uncha, upon his hands God is going to carry you. Al kapayim yiso uncha. Why will he carry you upon his hands? Pentigo fa'eben raglecha, lest you stub your fisalach on a stone. God is going to protect you that nothing should happen. Al shakal vafeten tidroch tirmos kefir v'sanin. Ah, but there are other unexpected things that happen. There can be a lion that comes. A shakal is a lion. A feten is a type of poisonous snake. Al shakal vafeten tidroch. Tidroch means you will step upon. You know? I didn't think of this before. What does God tell Yehoshua in the first chapter of Yehoshua? Chazak ve'ematz, be strong and courageous. Kol makom asher tidroch kaf raglecha, wherever your feet is going to step down. And tidroch does not mean simply stepping, but coming crushing and crashing down, shall be unto yours. Can this not therefore be seen as such an appropriate bracha to Yehoshua? Al shakal v'feten tidroch, you will step and crush the shakal v'fet. By the way, those of you who remember American history, there's something in American history I never understood. One of the flags of the 13 colonies was a snake, and it said on the flag, "Don't tread on me," right? Oh, so I remember well. So would it be safe to assume that they're telling Great Britain or King George, be careful of us, don't step on us? Is that how you understood it? I thought that, you know, in exchange for teaching you a chapter of Tehillim, somebody will explain to me a flag from the... I don't expect the Canadians to explain to me an American flag from the, or the English. Yeah, the right. Al shakal v'feten tidroch tirmos. Tidroch means to step, and tirmos means to crush. Tirmos kfir. Kfir is a young lion, just like a shakal. These are the names of different ages and different kinds of lions. V'tanin. You'll step on a tanin. Now, the fact is, the four animals that are mentioned over here are not so simple to tread on. We're not talking about a joke, you understand? I would suggest to you, if an alligator or a crocodile comes your way, don't say Yoshev v'Seser and get to this pasuk. Run for your life. Yes?
Just a similar example.
So I'll tell you. The question was, there seems to be repetition here. What do I do when I have a problem with repetition? There's only one Meforish who deals with repetition, and that's the Malbim. So when I'm in dire straits, even if I'm not in dire straits, I go round to the Malbim. And here, he does not do as he does in other places in Tanakh, where he deals with every kind of repetition. I imagine because here he too must agree with the other Meforshei HaTanakh that there are things that are repeated for emphasis. That of course is the position taken by the Mitzudas David, taken by the Radak, and taken by the Eben Ezra, that repetition is emphasis. The Malbim says repetition, every repetition tells. Yeah. So the emphasis is to remember, the emphasis is in order to really let the person know that I'm giving you an important bracha. Any kind of. I could, of course, say that some of them are on land and others are on sea. The Tanin really is a sea. I saw one in Kruger Park. They're very big.
A crocodile,
these big things that, you know, they come out onto the beach every so often to dry up, and then they go slithering down. They're very big. No. The note Ya'ana are ostriches. A tanin, this is when Moshe comes to Paro, so he throws his stick, and by Yehila tanin, it became a tanin. Because I imagine tanin was something that Egyptians knew a great deal about, and most probably were frightened of them coming out of the Nile. The taninim hagedolim. In other words, a tanin is something. Did somebody say amphibious? No, we're talking amphibious, not dinosaurs. Something that is related to water, and that's why the taninim hagedolim already included a great deal more than that. But we don't know. The fact is that there are certain we're going to come up against the names of other animals that we simply don't know precisely how to describe them. Yes?
But the idea you wouldn't step on to kill.
Who?
The idea you would not step on to kill. It's something that you would shoot or you would attack. It's not something like a
tamino
or
an akash. By the way, I like, you think it's a crazy question? Not a crazy question. It's a good question. She's asking, you know, you don't step on lions. You don't step on lions. You know what the answer is? You should be able to kill them and step on their dead carcasses. Tidroch al gviyotayim. That's what the hunter does. And you also find it, I think, in chapter 8 or 9 of Yahushua, when he captures a number of the kings of Canaan. He tells his soldiers to step on them, the foot, and then... So tidrok does not mean to step on them to kill them, to step on them after you kill them. Boy, this sounds... or to show that I have vanquished them. So the question was very good. Now, look what's happening in Pasuk 14. Pasuk 14 now, the person who is boteach b'Hashem, the one who trusts in God, is now making his third declaration. We are now going back to first person I. Ki vi choshak. Or, no, sorry. we're going back to a first person, but it's not the Boteach, it's Hashem himself. Up until now, the bracha was given by, we don't know, the Kohen, the Navi. And now God says, Ki vichoshak, because he desires me, because this man desires me, va'afaltehu, I will rescue him. I will rescue him. We have that word in this week's Sedra too, in one of its forms. Vayoko hapolit vayaged la'avram ho'ivri. The polit. The polit is the refugee who fled from the battle. He comes and he tells Avram that Lot has been captured. Apaltehu means I will make him a palit. Palit means a refugee. I'm going to save him because he desires me. Apaltehu. Asagvehu. Asagvehu means two things. Asagvehu means I will give him strength. Asagvehu also means I will raise and uplift him. Ki yoda shemi, because he knows my name. Now when we're saying he knows my name, what it means is he knows and he understands the power and the strength of God. Because God's names represent the way in which he conducts himself in the world. Hashem Hashem Kilrakum Vachanun Erechapaim Rav Chesed Yemes. Yikro Eini, he will call unto me, Ve'enehu, and I will answer him. Imo Anochi Bitzara. Oh yeah, these three words so important, because these three words are an idea that is repeated time and time again in Tanakh and in the words of our rabbis. I would say the first time it appears is when Yaakov Avinu finds out. It's in Parashat Miketz. No? Yeah, Miketz. He finds out that Yosef is alive. Vayigash. He finds out that Yosef is alive. So he says, Eileich ve'enu, I'm going to go see him before I die. And then he comes from Hebron, he comes to Be'er Sheva. He stops in Be'er Sheva. And that night God appears to him in a dream at night. And God says to him, Al tira miridom mitzrayma, don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. Anochi eireid imcha, va'anochi e'elcha gam olo. I'm going to go down with you, and I'm going to come up with you. Don't be afraid, because imo anochi b'tzara, I am with you wherever you are. I am with you. This is precisely what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, kol makom shegolo Yisrael, wherever Israel went into exile, gol sashchina imahem, the divine presence went into exile with them. This is a fundamental part of Jewish of our hashkafa. Imo anochi b'tzara. God is not saying you're not going to have tzaras. He's saying, Imo Anochi with him, the one who trusts in me, Anochi Bitzara. There's an amazing Rashi in Shir Hashirim, that I think I made Xerox for you, and so that you'll be able to read the Rashi inside, where Rashi expands on this idea of wherever man is, wherever the Jewish people are, God is there. And it's all Imo Anochi Bitzara. What a tremendous sense of comfort this gives. Achaltzehu va'achabdehu. Achaltzehu is I will pull him out. The Mefarshim say achaltzehu means when you pull somebody out from a place that is very, you know, where he is. What word is it? Chilutz. What the Israeli army has units of chilutz. They said that those are the units that they send, you know, if a building has collapsed or an earthquake, in order to extract people. Achaltzehu. Sometimes I get the feeling, and here it's already just completely theory and a guess. In the word achaltzehu, you also have lahats. You move the word letters around a little bit, you have lachats. where there is tremendous pressure and you have to remove somebody, I will extract him from the tzaddah, and afterwards va'achabdehu. Achabdehu means I'm going to give him honor and glory, meaning that not only will I rescue you, but there is also going to be the reward that comes afterwards of va'achabdehu. And you know what else God says? You know what the blessing is going to be for the one who goes through a period of tzara, and in that period of tzara he has his faith and his trust in God. Orech yomim az bi'elu, I will sate him with length of days. Va'areihu, and I'm going to show him Yeshuati, my salvation. Now there is a minhag in davening, as we Ashkenazic Jews say this pasuk twice, Orech yomim az bi'elu va'areihu Yeshuasi, Orech yomim az bi'elu Yeshuasi. Don't ask me why. It seems that the reasons for it are of a mystical nature. Achenu hasfaradim do not repeat the pasuk except, I believe, for davening on Shabbos. There is, of course, a relationship between this pasuk. What did we have at the end, or someplace over there? We had the similar idea of Orech Yomim Az Biyovei. We had in chapter 90. Sabenu Vaboke Chazdecha Unranov Nismecha B'chol Yomenu Samchenu Chimot Initanu Shnot Reinu Ra. I tell you, I have another thought that's going through my mind, and I will just share it with you now. Maybe if necessary we will elaborate on it. There's something that has troubled me for many years, even though by now it doesn't trouble me so much because I've come up with so many answers for this question. Parashat Vayelech in Sefer Devarim begins, Vayelech Moshe went, and he spoke to the children of Israel, and he told them that I'm 120 years old today, and that's it. I'm not going to be with you much longer. This is it. Rashi says on Vayelech Moshe, and Moshe went, Rashi makes one comment, V'gomer, etc. What's Rashi telling me? Now, I have, over the years, I've come up with 5 or 6 answers, and I enjoy coming up with answers to this question. We'll talk about some of them later, next week. I love coming up with answers, especially since somebody once came into my house and, you know, sort of mocked me, made fun of me, in my own home. Can you imagine? In my own home. Says, the printer put it in. What are you getting all shook up because Rashi says the Gomer? Big deal, it's nothing. Most probably in many chumashim you won't even find the Gomer. So, of all certain things, I think it was that day or the next day, I get a fax from Rabbi Stuart Weiss. The fax is, had nothing to do, I mean, here, you want to talk about the hand of God. He sends me a fax, and it's a fax of a page from Rav Moshe Feinstein, a sefer of Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says, Vayelech Moshe, Rashi says, Vagomer. And Rav Moshe says, you know, this is very strange. Rashi obviously must be telling us something with this Gomer. Boy, did I do a job on this fellow who made fun of him. I was Gomer him, you understand. There's no such thing. Rashi, every nuance, everything in Rashi. I think maybe the Vayelech Moshe, I'm beginning to think another answer. When I have nothing to do, I'll tell you the other answers I gave over the last 5 years. But the Vagomer is because Moshe is telling them, it's not only what I say to you now, he's going to say to them mitzvahs in Vayelech, he's going to say Hazinu, and he's going to say Zos HaBracha. But that's not all, etc. You know what else there are? 11 chapters of blessing in Sefer Tehillah. The Gomer, keep going, etc. It's not all here. Do you like it as much as I like it? Please, the homework that I gave last week applies for this week, which is, at your leisure, just read the 11 chapters, because there are going to be similarities or words that are going to connect, words and ideas that are going to connect one chapter with the next. And next week is Mizma Shiri Yom HaShabbos, and I hope we'll do Mizma Shiri Yom HaShabbos and Hashem Moloch Geut Levei Zerei. There are unbelievable chapters that are coming up of major, major thoughts in Jewish philosophy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm beginning to like this.